All right. Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor, where we are equipped and inspired to nurture the hope of Christ in our home. So today I have with me Courtney Lohman. I'm so excited to have you with us, Courtney.
I'm so glad to be here. Very much so.
Okay. So nobody else knows you. Well, they might know you if they follow your podcast, Journey of Ruth. But if they don't, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah. So I am a mom of two boys and a husband who is a, he's a landscaper by trade, but he is a hunter and an outdoorsman. So, with redneck as a husband and two boys, we spend a lot of time outside. and we really enjoy, you know, kind of hiking or, going out. We live in the middle of the city, so we like to get out of the city as much as possible. I was previously a piano and voice teacher and recently just stepped out of that to be a full-time mom and part-time podcaster and speaker. So I spent a lot of time getting kids where they need to be and making sure everybody has food to eat. And that's not just including my boys. My husband is one of those that opens the fridge and says, there's nothing in here. And I'm like, what do you mean there's nothing in there? I just went to the store. But he just sees a bunch of ingredients and not a meal. So making sure everyone has food to eat. And then I am the host of the Journey of Ruth podcast, where I encourage women to love Jesus, study his word, and reach others. So it is a discipleship podcast. First of all, hoping to disciple our listeners, but also encourage them to go and disciple others. And then I speak at women's and church events where I have the pleasure and honor of talking about discipleship and other stories God has kind of woven in my life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's wonderful. So where did God bring that passion in you from? Like, where did that come from, this desire to disciple women and help women disciple women?
Yeah. When I was younger, so I was a pastor's kid growing up, and my parents were really good at kind of putting in our lives people that were wise and not just people that had opinions. And I think that's what we see a lot online now, but they recognized even before social media existed is that everyone has an opinion, but not everyone has wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so they were really good about putting those people in our life that had wisdom. And some of those people still are in my life. So when I need wisdom on marriage or when I need wisdom on parenting, I have some of those people that I can still call. If I'm looking for trying to figure out my interpretation of something in scripture, I have some of those people that I can call and say, can you help me with this verse and kind of what your interpretation of it is? I'm not really sure about that. So, those people are still in my life. And I realized as a high school choir teacher, which I was before I had kids, that a lot of my high schoolers did not have this. And so they came to me as their high school choir teacher for like big life advice. And I'm thinking, they don't teach you this when you get your music education degree, you know, but I was honored and I was blessed that they would want to come and ask me those questions, that they saw me as a person who maybe had that wisdom, but it made me realize that I was very blessed to have those wise people in my life. And then as kind of life started happening and as I kind of stepped back from teaching and was really actually hoping to be an international missionary. And that didn't turn out. God showed me that where my passion was in discipleship and that I loved the moments I got to spend with those students talking about their lives and seeing what wise steps they could take next. And I wanted more people to have discipleship, but our church leaders were saying to me, we have many women who want discipleship, but some of the older women who we know could easily be wonderful disciplers for these ladies, they mm-hmm. don't feel qualified. They don't feel like they mm-hmm. are trained. And so that's where it started by creating a discipler training course at our church to help women feel equipped to disciple so that when younger women came to our leadership and said, I need someone to disciple or mentor me, they're like, We have those here. Let me partner you with one of those women. And then that led into the podcast where I wanted to share those wise people that God had put in my life. I wanted to share them with the world, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's what the podcast has allowed me to do.
Oh, that's really cool. So what you were describing there when you were talking about, you know who to ask for advice and, you know, godly wisdom. I feel like a lot of us don't have that kind of community, especially as moms. Like if we might have our own mom, but I don't feel like, I don't know, you, like you said about everybody having an opinion and not always having wisdom. How do you find those people? Okay. So let me just backtrack a second here, cause I want to ask you a different question and I have some that I skipped and I'm going to come back to later, but why do you think it's important for moms to find community?
Mm. Yeah. So I think first of all, that being a mom can feel like one of the loneliest jobs on the planet. I think it really can. I think we can feel like no one else has experienced what we've experienced. No one else is struggling with the things that we're struggling with. And there is nothing that Satan loves more than for us to feel isolated and alone, because mm-hmm. then that makes us feel as we begin to believe lies that he's put in our heart and our mind about who we are. Like, oh, you're a bad mom. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you yelled at your child. He's only 1.5, like, you know, and these thoughts, we start to kind of like beat ourselves down, and Satan's like, yes, I'm winning. Mm. But when we place a community around ourselves, what we begin to see is that we're not alone. We're not the only one that has done this. Mm. An area where I think this is kind of improving actually is for those who have had miscarriages. Hmm. That is an area where I think the church has kind of, in the past, it wasn't church, it was kind of culture. It was kind of like, you don't talk about it. Yeah. Like when you have a miscarriage, you don't really talk about it. You just handle it on your own, and then don't worry, I'm sure you'll have another kid. Hmm. That's not happening anymore. And now as we're grieving the loss of our child, when we open up about what we're going through, it is amazing to see how many people around you have experienced that as well. Mm. You just had no idea because you didn't have that shared experience. You didn't have a miscarriage until just now to talk about. And then you open up and talk about it. And people are like, oh, me too. This is what we experienced. This is what I saw. And you're like, oh my gosh, there is a community of people around me that have experienced miscarriage that I can like pull on, like, you know, ask for their help in whatever ways I need. Mm-hmm. It is that way with motherhood. And if you open up about some of your struggles and some of your frustrations and areas where you feel like you're strong, and areas where you feel like you're weak, I think what you're going to find is you're going to find people that are dealing with that too. You're going to find people who dealt with that and have found victory in that area through whatever, and can help you to experience that victory. You're going to find moms that have survived the whole thing. They're like, guess what? I did that. I yelled at my kid when they were 1.5. Yeah. They're now 19, have a great job, and they're getting through school just fine. Like it didn't completely break them. Yeah. And so we're like, oh, hallelujah. I didn't ruin my kid. You know, like it, and mom guilt is real. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the reason that we have mom guilt is because we have believed all of these assumptions about like that other moms are stronger or other moms have it figured out. So when you're meeting with someone else or a group of moms or a like someone else that's like older than you has gone through this, they can help you see what's true and not what society or social media would have you believe. Mm. And that's what Satan wants us to believe. Through Christian community, we can see what is actually God's truth in all of this about who we're supposed to be, how much forgiveness there is to be had in motherhood and in Christianity, and praise Jesus that there's, you know, forgiveness abounding for sure.
Yeah. So as you're talking, I'm thinking of like all the buts, like, well, but my church doesn't offer something like that, or, but I don't know how to find that, or, but I do have Christian friends, but we have very surface conversations. How, do you have any suggestions for how a mom can just find this authentic discipling community where you're sharing godly wisdom, pointing other people, you know, pointing each other to the Bible and not just to a self-help book?
Yeah.
How do you find that?
Yeah, that is definitely a challenge. I think first place we're going to start is your local church. So if you're not involved in a local church, that's where I would suggest you go first. And I also am going to suggest in the church that you don't just look for people that are your own age. I'm actually going to suggest that you look outside of your own age. One of the areas that I found was really good to connect with women that weren't my age is midweek or evening Bible studies. Mm-hmm. And, or if your church does small groups, don't find a small group that's only people your age. Mm-hmm. There is benefit in that. Let me just start with that. There is very good benefits in having a group that is all your own age, but then there's a benefit for having relationships with people that are not your own age. So in my church, I had a Sunday school class of people that were my age. Mm-hmm. And we had discipler couples that came in, and they were there to help kind of give us that advice. And then during the midweek studies, I would choose one that was outside of my age. And that's where I met some of the older women in the church. And some of them have become some of my dearest friends, and they're double my age. And it's beautiful. And I cherish my time with them and our conversations, because I think it's ones that I can't have with someone else who's also in their 30s, like I am. Right. So start with the local church. If that's not a place where you can find that, there are local mom groups where you can find that, like MOPS, which is Mothers of Preschoolers, but your kid doesn't have to be a preschooler. If you're a mom, really? Like, yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's one of them. But, you know, are there other like mom groups in your area where you can go and they're there for, you know, maybe not motherhood skills, but mutual encouragement is what they're there for. And then the third option would be like, no, Courtney, you know, there's nothing like that at my local church. There's nothing like that in my community, or at least I've tried and I'm not gelling with those. I know sometimes that happens too, right? It's available and I've tried it and it just wasn't for me. I actually created something I call the play process, and you can download on my website, journeyofruth.com/download. It's free. But it looks like this. It's just a little worksheet, just one page.
Yeah.
But it's a 4-step process. Huh?
I said just one page. That's good.
This one page. Yeah. It's not like a packet that takes 10 days to go through. I would suggest taking a couple days to go through it, but it's the play process. PLAA. Couldn't think of a Y. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you really should do some more research. I'm like, I tried the thesaurus and the dictionary and I, so anyway, it's PLAA, but the first one is pray. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you to pray, because God wants to give you the desires of your heart. And if what you're desiring is relationship with another strong Christian woman, he's going to provide that for you. So start praying. And through that prayer, kind of think about, what am I looking for? Am I looking for someone to help me with parenting or marriage or my relationship with Christ? Like what does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus? Praying. Then you're going to start looking. And I actually, in the boxes, I encourage you to make a list of people that you see around you, that are already around you, that you respect them. I'm going to use marriage as an example here, but maybe that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone that can help me be a more godly wife, someone that can help me achieve some of our marriage goals. I'm going to make a list of women that have a godly, a God-honoring marriage that I really respect around me. Then you're going to ask, and that doesn't mean go to them and ask, hey, will you disciple me? Like, don't start there, because that's really scary. Instead, the ask is like, ask them to dinner at your house, ask them to go to coffee, ask them, you know, if you've got young kids, ask them to come and do a play date with you, even if they don't have kids and they're an older woman. Oh my gosh. They like love watching you and your kids. And like,
that's true.
Yeah. Like they love being invited into those moments. And start asking questions. You're listening more than you're talking because you're getting to know them. And I think then God is going to show you, is this the person that you would like to have as a discipler person? And then the act part is actually where you're going to ask the question. Hey, you know, we've been talking for a little while. I've been asking God if he would give me someone to disciple me. And I you know, affirm those things in their life. I appreciate your marriage. I appreciate how you show love to your husband and your kids. And I would love some help in those areas. Would you be willing to meet with me on a regular basis? Doesn't have to be every week. Could be just once a month, could be every other, whatever works for you and for her. Kind of give her some ideas of what are you asking for? Are you asking for to do a Bible study every time you meet? Or are you just asking to sit down and like kind of talk about life and maybe she can give you some advice and then give her the time to pray about it because you already took the time to pray, right? So give her that time to pray. And what that does is it lets her go home. And if she says no, you know that she thought about it, that this is a no, not said out of like, well, I don't have time, but it's no said out of like, whatever her reason might be. Yeah. But if she says yes, you know that it is, she's not saying yes out of obligation. You gave her the ability to go and pray about it and maybe come and say no. It's a yes that she's giving gladly and knowing what the dedication, what the, you know, commitment looks like. Yeah. And if she does say no, it doesn't mean you got it wrong. And it doesn't mean that the play process didn't work. Instead, what you're going to do is you're going to go back up to that list you made in the look section. That's why I don't want you just list one person, but list multiple people. And you're going to go to the next person on your list and you're going to start working through that. If you run out of people and you're looking around you and you're like, I don't know anyone, then I'm going to suggest that you start praying that God would put you in places of influence where you can get people, look for ministry organizations you can get involved in your area, look to go serve. And then look around at the other people that are serving with you. So like for me, I serve in a women's ministry group. But when I look around you, the other women that are serving alongside me, those are some good women that could disciple me. But I didn't meet them until I decided I was going to serve. And then now I've met people who could possibly serve me in that discipleship realm. So I don't know if that makes sense, but kind of there's multiple places where I hope everyone is involved in some way and can find someone to disciple them.
Yeah, that is really excellent. I love this play process. You're going to give me the links for where we can download that, right? Because that is really excellent, really clear. I love that there's so much prayer involved in that. It's not just like, okay, just go and ask your neighbor or whatever, right?
Because people get scared.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was just thinking like what you're really asking them to do, maybe you're asking them to lead a Bible study, but you're also saying you have permission to speak into my life in this area. Like, I want you to speak into my life at, you know, in marriage, don't hold back. Like if you see something in me where I have a hard heart or something, you're allowed to say that. I give you permission. So, you know, it may not be a formal Bible study or something like that, but if somebody knows, I want you to speak into that. Like you don't have to prepare anything. Just as we're having conversations, if you're noticing something, feel free to please do bring it up.
And the definition I think of discipleship is two people walking side by side, encouraging one another to become more like Christ. Because to be a disciple of someone is to become more like them. But that's where Christian discipleship is different because while I may be discipling someone, it gets scary when we think I'm the teacher and they're the student.
Right.
But that's not what Christian discipleship is. It is we're walking side by side. They're seeing my victories, but they're also seeing my failures as the person that's discipling them. And then I get to be in on their victories and their failures. So we're like in each other's lives, the good and the bad. And so we're walking along, encouraging each other to become not like me. If at the end of the discipleship process, you have become a little Courtney. We have a problem and I'm doing it wrong. Instead, yeah. I'm hoping to encourage them to become more like Christ. Yeah. And that's, and if we look at Titus chapter 2, it talks about what the older women should be encouraging the younger women to do. And it's like super basic life stuff. It's not, hey, I want to encourage you to, for these young women to become theological experts. No, it's things like, yeah, right. It's things like how to become a good wife, how to be a good mom, how to take care of their home, how to work well, and all of those things so that, now it's not like, okay, so none of it has anything to do with God. No, the whole point, it gives this whole list of real life things, practical things that we're supposed to talk about in discipleship. And then it says, so that the scripture may not be reviled, or so that it may not, we don't turn over what scripture is saying and show it to the world wrong. The yeah. way that we are, you know, responding in our marriage counts, the way that we, it says something about what we believe in the Bible. The way that we parent our kids says something to the world about who we are and who we follow and what we believe. So if we've got someone encouraging us what it means to be a godly wife and a godly parent, then the goal here is that maybe we're also portraying, we're being that salt and the light to the world that God, you know, calls us to be.
Yeah. I just almost started crying there because it was like connecting dots that I was like, yes, exactly. This is why. It's not just so that, you know, for our own personal selves, although that's important, yeah. so that, you know, we're not feeling lonely and we feel like we have community, but so that we're portraying Christ to the world in a way that doesn't make people go, oh, a Christian.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We want people to see Christ in us. And so mm-hmm. as we're encouraging each other to grow, that is the goal of it.
And when you are at peace with your husband, the majority of the time, people don't get it.
Yeah.
Right. When you are struggling with your kids, and still able to find hope, people don't get it. When a world pandemic hits and you still can have a smile on your face, people don't get it. And I think it's because we are showing, and I'm not saying, please don't read this, that our marriages have to be perfect and there should never be any issues and parenting, we should never have any problems. Like, I just wanted to like stick one of my kids out on the street and say, you know, put a free sign on him a couple of weeks ago. Like, and I call, what did I do? I called a couple of my friends and I was like, I'm out. I have tried all of the discipline techniques that I know. I have tried all the encouragement techniques. Like, I have gone to like being the mom who's like, can I just smile our way through this? I'm lost. Yeah. I'm so lost. I don't know what to do with this first grader. And he's just in, no, I'm sorry, second grader. And he's just in second grade. Like, I'm pretty yeah. sure it doesn't get easier from here. What am I going to do? But to have those people that can encourage me, number one, who he is, number two, who I am, number three, who our God is, can allow us to have hope in these situations that are really, really tough so that scripture may not be reviled, so that we can continue even through our struggles in life to be salt and light to the world around us.
Amen. Amen. All right. I had some other questions I wanted to throw at you, but we're running out of time. So I'm going to throw them at you fast. Okay.
All right.
Are you ready? So yeah. for you, Courtney, what does connecting with God look like in your life, you know, when you're really super busy, you're driving your kids everywhere, you're feeding your husband who opens the fridge and doesn't know what to make. How do you connect with God regularly?
Yeah. For me, it is, I do really try to wake up a little bit early. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, I read the proverb of the day. There's 31 proverbs. You don't need to read them all. If it's the fifth of the month, you read Proverb 5. And so I will, if that's all I have time to do, I will do that and pray. And then if not, then I'll dig a little deeper into something else. I also love podcasts. Shocker. I know. but I do have some podcasts that I can always kind of count on them encouraging me and lifting me up. And then I've got ones that do no lifting. They're just for fun, you know?
So love it.
But I have those that I are like, I didn't have time, but I'm driving now, so I can listen to it while I'm driving. So
yeah, exactly. I love that. And it's just like those little moments in your day when, I mean, God doesn't want us to just be like, okay, I give you my half an hour in the morning and we're done. Like, yeah, he wants to be part of our whole day. Anyway, right. I won't preach now, but continuing on. What is something small that you've done at home with your family that you feel has made a big spiritual impact over time in your kids? I mean, I know your kids are not like, you know, grown and gone, but mm-hmm. what have you seen that has made a big difference, even though it's little?
You know what? This year, I heard somewhere like redeem the small moments. Mm. And I also heard that family discipleship is not, it should be simple and not easy. Came from my podcast guest this last week, Christy Thomas. But I actually thought that was great. And it confirmed what I had heard like a year ago. And that was the changes that you make can have a, like little changes can have a really big impact. Mm-hmm. And so we started memorizing scripture. We have a 20-minute drive to school. Okay. And when I was growing up, my parents used to sit us down in the living room and do it before we went to school, but that's because we had a 3-minute car ride, right? So we can do this on the way to school. We pray, each one of me and my kids prays, and then we have a scripture that we're memorizing. And on Mondays, we review the scriptures we reviewed. So we memorized this year, we memorized the armor of God, which we pray on every day now that we've memorized it. So that's the other thing, we pray in the armor of God. We memorized the fruit of the Spirit. And then we memorized all of Psalm 1. Wow. And in it, I was like, wow, that's a lot, you know, but it was just like repeating it as we went down the street. And then that would leave them like 5 minutes still to like read whatever book they'd brought in the car, whatever. But the fruit of the Spirit was an amazing one to memorize, because now my kids will use it when they're in trouble. They're like, I know, mommy, I'm not showing joy. And I'm like, cool. Didn't know that was going to actually help out in my mothering. I thought I was just being a good mom and saying, hey, scripture is good. Maybe we should memorize it. But it has actually helped us. And sometimes I'll say, what fruit of the Spirit are you not showing? Hmm. My youngest will go through them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I'm not showing kindness. Like, he has to go through all of them. Yeah. but it gives you basis for some of these things that you're saying, like, you're not being kind to your brother. Your kids have heard that a million times, but why are you asking them to be kind? Well, scripture asks us to be kind. Mm-hmm. Jesus asks us to be kind. It gives like a bigger purpose, I guess. So,
yeah, I love that. And I love that you've memorized those like three big chunks, probably not, you know, you weren't doing like half an hour at a time trying to memorize all these big things. But if you look back over the space of a year, you think, oh, look, I memorized the armor of God and the fruit of the Spirit and all of Psalm 1. Well, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like a little bit at a time. And the prayer is like a repeat one. So like the shoes of peace. And then I gave her a reason that helps us be salt and light to the world. Hmm. The belt of truth, which holds our armor together. Because I remember learning the armor and not knowing why.
Right.
Why do I put on that helmet? So the prayer that we did, I just did, what is the peace and why do we put it on? And then we pray it together. One person says it, we repeat. So
love it. Yeah. All right, Courtney. Well, our time with you is over, but where can we find you online? Where can we find this play process? Where can we find you and your podcast?
Yeah. So you can find the podcast, the Journey of Ruth podcast, anywhere, where you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those places. We're also on YouTube, Journey of Ruth. And then our website, journeyofruth.com, has show notes for everything. And then it also, if you go journeyofruth.com/download, which I think this is also on the front page, but if you click journeyofruth.com/download, you can download the play process there.
Okay. And I will make sure that I just include all those links, so you don't have to remember them, ladies. You're good to go. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.